Mastery and coaching from five perspectives: an educator, an ethicist, an administrator, a researcher, and a coach. Panel discussion at the 2016 National Coaching Conference in Seattle, Washington. Serving in the role as the educator on the panel, Dr. Steve Jeffries.
To me, the whole thing, especially talking from an educator's viewpoint, is that you have to have a purpose for doing anything. So if you want to be a coach, you have to know why you're doing it. And too often folks who coach seem to start with the what's and the how's without actually thinking through the why. Why am I actually doing this? What's my purpose? And I think that very often, because coaches come from a background where they've played in sports, their purpose doesn't necessarily match the purpose of the people they're coaching. And we see this all the time, this mismatch between what the coach thinks he or she is supposed to do and the reason that the kids are actually kids or students are coming into the school. And I think that's just a really important thing to think about: why are you doing this and where you are? And of course, you know, as adults, the whole winning thing tends to take a priority, especially if we come from sports. Whereas the research is pretty clear that until parents mess them up, most kids aren't very concerned about winning. They're quite happy to play and be with their friends and have fun. And so I think that that purpose is important. The other thing that I think is really important is to remember that a lot of the sports that go on are in school settings. And we seem to forget the purpose of schools, which is to educate people. And we promote sports in schools about wonderful opportunities for kids to learn things like teamwork, cooperation, ethics, hard work, much more. And then what do? We eliminate them. The very kids who stand to benefit the most from sports are the ones that we choose to eliminate because they aren't good enough to win games. And we don't think this through because we haven't thought through the whole purpose of the sports being there. And actually, it's immoral, I'm jumping on here, to do this because the money for the sports in schools is being paid for by tax dollars. This isn't a private club. And yet we eliminate the very kids who benefit from sports. So my thinking, if you want to master coaching, is to first of all think through why you're doing it and why the folks you're coaching are there. But if you know why you're doing it and you're matched to the situation, then when we look at preparing teachers, there are two elements. One is you have to have knowledge about the content, and then you have to have teaching skills. In teaching, we call this pedagogical content knowledge. You take the content, and you're able to teach that. And it's so important, of course, to have both of these qualities, because we see folks who have one or the other and don't do very well. We see folks who come with a highly skilled sport background but aren't very good teachers, and then you see folks who are teachers good teaching skills, they just don't know much about the content. And in either case, if you're lacking one of these two skills, it's going to be very difficult to succeed. So I think in terms of mastery, we have to make sure that we are both knowledgeable about the content and we have teaching skills, which does explain why a lot of good coaches never really play the sport they're coaching. And sometimes we don't think people can do this, and yet they can because they develop a high level of knowledge in the sport, and also then they have good teaching skills. I think one of the other important things is to realize, and it really goes back to this purpose idea, is that it's very situationally specific, that you can succeed in certain environments and not succeed in other environments because you aren't a very good match with the situation. So a couple of people here have known John Wooden, and I didn't. But I wonder, would he have been a good kindergarten teacher? Now, perhaps he would, but most of us would not be. And if you ever tried to control a group of kindergartners, you know how hard this is when you look. And yet, if you watch someone who is skilled, they make it look easy. And I think that's something to remember, that our skills as teachers, when we are coaching, they probably are better suited for one area than another. And it's very situationally specific. In order to be successful, and this was raised also, we need to think very closely in terms of the relationship and relevance, which are two other things that we talk about with teaching. That if people aren't listening to you, it doesn't make much difference how much knowledge you know or how well you teach. If they aren't listening, it's irrelevant. So once again, it goes back to that situational thing in terms of whether you can relate to the audience you're trying to teach. And the other aspect of that is making it relevant to the people you're trying to teach. And I think one of the problems that we often have is we come in with different expectations to the students we're teaching, the athletes we're teaching, and it's not relevant. And especially if you go back to the idea, if you come in and you're so concerned about the results and the outcome of the game, the performance, the outcomes, and the students that, or the athletes you're working with are not as interested, then once again we have this mismatch that doesn't work. So I think relationships and relevance are important, and we do need to remember that coaches work with individuals in the most severe, changeable, developmental years of their life. And so within one group, you've got incredible developmental differences in terms of ages and expectations, and these change all the time. And sometimes we forget this, and one of the things we forget, of course, is whenever you coach a group, the research has shown there's an incredible advantage to being the oldest person in the group, because you tend to be more mature. Doesn't necessarily mean that you are the best athlete and have the most positive opportunities to succeed in the future. You just happen to be older. And the ones in the group also, if they're younger, tend to be less mature, tend to be less skilled. So I think it's really important when we are coaching people to be thinking about the group and the characteristics of the people. Reminds me just of one story. I spent a year in the Soviet Union when it existed and was looking at a youth sports system and was asking them, well, how do you get these great athletes? Well, probably drugs, but that wasn't the answer he gave. These were kids. To me, it was a great story. He said, well, it's like growing flowers. He said, you throw out seeds in the garden, and he said, you water them. And he said, they start to grow, but they grow at different speed. He said, some of them blossom very quickly, and then they fade. He said, others, it looks like nothing's happening, and eventually they become the prettiest flowers in your garden. And I think that's, we have to remember that. And Pete Carroll, who wasn't with me, but he gave a quote just recently where he said, how about we think about coaching as not changing people, but creating an environment in which the skill they already have exposes itself. And I thought that was a pretty interesting idea for someone coaching. So I think really to work well with athletes, you have to have content knowledge, you have to have teaching skills, but you also have to develop relationships and make it relevant to the people that you're working with. How do you measure your success? How do you assess it? And everybody who's come to this conference is quite familiar with the idea of performance measures or outcome measures, and the problem with whether or not you're just gauging the scores and the successes and trophies and championships versus the performance. And of course the one thing that we control is performance. The performance that we control, our own performance and our effort. And I did like the John Boone quote, which is the idea that the success is doing pretty much the best within your capabilities. So I think it's very important to, once again, think about the purpose of what you're there, and your assessment should be based on that purpose. And if you truly have educational outcomes as the purpose of your coaching, then those should be the measures that you should focus on. One of the things, of course, is that sports isn't like scrapbooking. You know, that everybody can succeed in scrapbooking. You can create a great scrapbook. It's not like there's the best scrapbook and the second place scrapbook. So I think a challenge that we have is this environment where competition is inherent, and nobody's arguing that it's a bad thing. But we have to be able to succeed in an environment where there are ultimate scores kept and performance, the outcome. This reminds me of when I taught my students, I wanted them to experience something that they were no good at, because it seems to me that a lot of coaches forget what it feels like to be a learner, and they don't quite understand how daunting it is to try and learn things. You have to have a basketball thrown at you if you aren't a skilled basketball person, it's actually pretty scary. And so we sometimes forget that kind of thing. The other thing is that we need to be able to have success in an environment where the obvious measure of success isn't possible. And so I decided I would teach my students unicycling. And I taught myself how to ride a unicycle when I was the other side of 40, too. So I was pretty proud of myself. And it was great when I got them there because almost none of them could ride a unicycle. And it was a very frustrating experience. Unicycles, not only like bicycles, bicycles are stable in the front and back area, but sideways they fall. Unicycles fall in every direction. You're going to fall. You are not going to ride a unicycle the first day you get it. It doesn't matter how skilled you are. And so I wanted them to experience what it was like to be a beginner, because I think coaches and teachers forget that. I also wanted them to understand it is possible to succeed in an environment where the ultimate measure of success wasn't possible. And I think that's the same in sports, where often you have very little opportunity to win the game. And yet there are ways that you can feel success by your performance within that game. And so with unicycling, I told them, well, the measure of success today is to mount the unicycle and get off the unicycle. That's success, you know, without killing yourself. And then I then said, well, how about with spotters, with rolling it maybe one or two paces and dismounting the unicycle. So the point there, and with sports, I think measuring, assessing your success is to come up with realistic measures that are meaningful for the students or athletes that you're coaching in an environment that tends to want to measure scores over which, of course, you have very little control.